This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Sponsored by Inc. Realty. When it's time for your next move, choose Guaranteed.
Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, never a dull moment here on Atlanta Living. Always changing topics and talking about things that are important to you, like your plants that just died outside from this latest cold snap. So I brought in my friends from Gibbs Landscaping because, listen, the last couple of days from that cold snap, I don't know about you, but I had some beautiful flowering plants that now are drooping their little heads. And I have Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs in the studio with me. And guys, are you getting just inundated with calls from people asking you what to do because their flowering plants are now just deceased?
Well, number one, thanks for having us, Belinda. We truly appreciate being able to talk with you and being able to talk to all your listeners. Number one.
Give us some hope.
Yeah, and well, there is positive. You know, spring officially starts on Monday.
Oh, good.
So March 20th is the first day of spring, which we're excited about.
Well, you need to tell the weatherman that.
I know. Well, you know, a lot of the, you know, the weather has been so warm in February this year.
Well, we didn't have a winter.
We didn't.
Until this week.
And, you know, we had temperatures that started pushing into the high 70s, and a lot of our flowering shrubs were used to really starting to bloom in April. They started in the end of February.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, a lot of people that have plant material, whether it's flowering, spring flowering trees or shrubs, they did start blooming, and with the hard freeze that we had, it did crimple that a little bit. So there's not much you can do about it. It's nature, and it's what happens sometimes.
So is it not coming, but my beautiful azaleas and my other blooming flowers, are we just, that's it now?
Are they coming back? It's not it. I think that what you have to do is a lot of the fresh blooms that were about to open up, and some of them were opened up, those were hurt, okay? But there is still more on the plant that hadn't totally opened up. So I think you're going to see your azaleas bloom. And, you know, more of your flowering trees bloom. But the ones that were blooming,
okay,
like some of the Yoshino cherries were starting, and we get the hard freeze back, that's not going to bloom again.
Okay. Well, folks, if you have a question about things in your landscape and in your garden, give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. So this is a great time if people are wanting to plant trees. Great time of year so they can get that root established before the summer heat starts hitting us.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine the summer heat right now when it's 62 degrees and kind of partly sunny outside, but yeah, we're going to have it before we know it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have talked about this before and trying to make sure we educate all our listeners on when the best time to plant is. And sometimes we've talked about everybody feels like it's spring, and spring is here now. And we kind of talked about it's almost a factor of retail that's really got everybody kind of crazy because Home Depot, Lowe's, all these retailers put all these plants out in the spring, gets everybody excited. But you really can't plant in other seasons. But since we are in spring right now, spring is a good time to plant. So any of your listeners that are thinking about planting, go ahead and get yourself going. Get your plant material in the ground. And it will allow it in this transition period right now to really establish its root system before we get into the hot summer. But now is a great time to plant.
So plant everything, my shrubs, my trees, my anything that I'm wanting in my landscape?
Not everything. You know, your trees, shrubs, this is a beautiful time to plant all that plant material. Now, when you start getting into some perennials, we're kind of right on the border of starting to plant those. And I think it's always best to make sure your perennials have really started leafing out, because a lot of times you can pick up a container that has a perennial, and it could be Rebecca or Black-Eyed Susan, and there may be like two leaves, and it looks like you bought a pot of soil.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's better to wait a little bit till it flushes a little bit more and plant those. The other thing that you really have to think about, and I've already seen some of this, You do not want to plant your annual flower beds until after April 15th, okay?
Okay.
And that's based upon our zone. We're in zone 7 here in Atlanta, but in Atlanta weather, you still can have freezes up till April 15th.
I started to say, are you looking at the old Farmer's Almanac? Is that where you're getting your...
No, I mean, really, it's just basically, I guess it probably started there, but I think just the experience of being in business as long as we've had, if you put your annuals in before April 15th, you're going to have problems because you can have the same thing that you just started the show talking mm-hmm. about happen, get a freeze one day, and those plants can't tolerate that, and they seriously will just perish.
Okay. Or you're just trying to make us feel better on tax day by planting some flowers.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, too.
That's always a good thing. So if you have questions about things going on in your landscape, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. I pass by, and I see people already starting to water their lawn. Should we start the landscape watering system now, or are we early on that? Are people jumping the gun?
That's an excellent question, and I think the best thing to do is you want to fire up your systems. You want to check your systems and make sure they're operating efficiently right now, because you have time to make a correction if something is wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we really, right now, we're telling all of our clients, you do not need to be watering unless you just planted something new.
Okay.
And you need to monitor that. But we have not started up our systems running at this point.
Okay. When would you advise people to start the irrigation system?
It's really going to be weather-based, based upon what the weather is going to be, how it's going to be. So if we start getting temperatures that are getting up into the 80s and we're not getting rainfall and you're seeing plant material, it looks like it's starting to wilt a little bit or seeing some hot spots in turf, you want to go ahead and start watering at that point.
Okay, because you know, in the city of Atlanta, that's liquid gold. So we want to hold back as long as we can before we turn on that sprinkler system.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines and speak with Susan. Susan, you're on WSB with Gibbs Landscape Experts. How are you today?
Hi, fine. I usually schedule a week from work to be able to kind of do my pruning, and wanted to know, am I too late this year to really do some severe, you know, talking about maybe a third back on my, like, ligustrums, holly, you know, pretty established. I've lived here for 20, 25 years.
Hey, Susan, thanks for the call. Yeah, you've got plenty of time left. Now, which plants do you want to prune now? Which are left?
I've got my holly and like a ligustrum. I think it's called ligustrum. It's a big, like I say, I've lived here for 20, 25 years.
Okay.
It's a big established shrubbery that about once every year or two, I really cut it back a good third. So it's almost like sticks, you know.
Gotcha.
When it, so it doesn't end up with like a hole in the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Sure thing. And now these in front of, right in front of your house or in the back patio? What area?
Right in front of my house.
You could cut them back. I mean, even two thirds if you want to. I mean, take them on back farther. It'd be fine.
Okay.
We still got a good, I would say, I don't know, 6 weeks or so of good time.
Oh, fantastic! Great.
Sure.
Yeah, because I've got my week coming up, and I just wanted to be able to really cut them back so they start coming out from the bottom.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure thing. Yeah, you've got plenty of time. I would go ahead and hit them back pretty hard. And
do I need to put on my spokes? I usually put those spokes, those spikes in there, you know, around the drip line.
Oh, fertilizer you're talking about?
Correct.
You don't have to do those. You can fertilize them good coming up this spring. Just do like a slow-release fertilizer, a little bit higher nitrogen, and just put them around the drip line after you prune, and you should be in great shape.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate Thanks it. For the call, Susan.
All right. Thanks for your call. Those are great questions about pruning. And so if you're not pruning, are you causing detriment to your shrubs and your plants?
I don't think you're causing total detriment to them. I think that someone like the last caller, she has a very established garden, and she's wanting to do harder cutbacks.
Yeah.
So when you come in and do that, this really is, like David said, this is the perfect time to do it. And you can do those a little bit earlier, too. But to me, I always love this time, because when you make the harder cutbacks, you're going to see a plant that looks like sticks. And to someone
and
who
I
didn't,
hate,
yeah,
and I hate that. For
every
them.
Everybody does, and we have to warn our clients on this because, like, okay, we're doing a what we call it rejuvenation preening.
Right.
Now it's going to look like sticks. It's going to look like it's dead.
For
because
how
they,
long?
Well, that's why it's best to do it now.
Yeah.
Because the closer you are to spring when you do it, the faster it's going to flush back out. So if you do it in February, you're going to get a longer period where it looks like that. So for her, that caller, and for everyone, now is the a great time to do it.
That's why when I see people cut the crepe myrtle, I call it crepe myrtle, yeah, crepe myrtles back to the sticks, and it just looks terrible for so long.
Yeah, it and that one thing about us, you know, if you're in our industry and you see that, and I think this is one of David's comments he probably told me 20 years ago, but you know, you always see a job and the weeds haven't been pulled, but that crepe myrtle is chopped back down to the ground. You know, no matter what's going on, you got that thing chopped back.
That's the truth.
The yard is full of weeds and the flower beds are weed, but that crepe myrtle.
It's been murdered.
They did the one thing.
Okay, folks, we're taking your calls at 404-872-0750. We know you have lots of questions going on about your landscape and your garden after this crazy week of weather that we've had. We were in the, what was the low this week?
Geez, we had weather that was in the lower 20s.
In the lower
20s. Yeah.
And then that lasted for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we'd had it for 1 day, the plant life would have survived it.
It probably would have been a little bit better, but you know that 1 day. I mean, we barely got out of the mid 30s. We actually didn't even work that day. Our crews, because there's really nothing you could do.
Right.
You can't go and prune because you can't cut because it was frozen. You can't walk on the grass, etc. So it was a day we couldn't even work.
So 2 days back to back was pretty much terrible for your hardscape, well, your landscape and your garden. So we're taking your calls 404-872-0750, and we're going to take more of those right after this.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Thank you, Scott. You're listening to Atlanta Living, and we are taking your calls about your landscape and your garden because everybody's a little stunned by the cold snap that we had earlier in the week, and hopefully that's the last one because, as Peter Kopsis from Gibbs Landscape said, what, Monday is the beginning of spring? Peter?
Monday's the first day of spring.
Monday is the first day of spring. So that's the voice of Peter Kopsis, and we have David Gibbs, and they are president and vice president of Gibbs Landscape. And we're taking your calls, 404-872-0750. Let's go to Ansley and Marietta. Ansley, you're on WSB. How are you, sweetheart?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's your question for my guys?
My question is, Gibbs actually did a landscape design for my neighbor. It was a complete transition. It looks so good. So I had to call it fantastic. So I was wondering if they actually do hardscape. I was looking for something for my backyard, maybe fireplace, fire pit, built-in grill. Mm. And I wasn't sure if Gibbs actually did hardscape.
Yes, we actually do hardscaping, and thanks so much for calling us. And you're looking at trying to do maybe like a fireplace and more like an outdoor living area in the backyard. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I want it to be something that we can definitely use.
Well, that's great. You know, one thing that we always say is planting kind of beautifies a space, but your hardscape really delineates your space and pulls out people into the yard. So it is all the rage right now, what you're talking about. And most of the projects, to be honest with you, that we do are exactly what you're saying, is building these outdoor spaces and creating floor, ceilings, rooms with all the different things that we can do. But with a project like this, you know, you want to make sure that you have a really good landscape architect design it to make sure that the design concept will really work. And then just make sure that you have someone really good that can come in and build the project. And if you are interested, you know, that's right up our alley what we do because we are a design-build company. And typically in that kind of situation, we'd have an architect come out and meet with you, really look at the space and really listen to what you're wanting to use the space for. Then we will give our ideas about how we can build something like that and be able to generate a proposal for you to show you what the investment would be for a project like that. But certainly we can help you. And if you are interested, you can call Gibbs at 770-432-7761 or visit us at gibbslandscape.com. And one of our representatives will be happy to help you with your project.
Great. I will do that. Thanks so much. That was just my quick question, and I wanted to make sure you guys did that. So I'll be calling you guys probably Monday.
Thank you so much.
Ansley, I think it's great to just extend the square footage and the footprint of your house to the outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely need that.
It's just another way to bring your family together in the outdoors and enjoy the space a little bit better. So if you have a question, just like Ansley did, give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. So outdoor fireplaces, all the rage. And we're going to be at the Home Show broadcasting next weekend, and you just see tons of outdoor fireplaces and ponds and fire pits and gas fire pits are all the rage.
They are. I mean,
and I love that because the smoke always follows me,
yeah,
and it drives
see,
me crazy.
You're absolutely right. You want the gas if you do a fire pit because the smoke will blow in your face and your guest face, and you'll see they really won't use it. But the gas fire pits are just fabulous.
That's the way to go. Okay, if you want to give us a call, 404-872-0750. We're speaking with Gibbs Landscape about your landscape and your garden, so we'll take your calls.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Sponsored by Inc. Realty. When it's time for your next move, choose Guaranteed.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We're having too much fun here on the show. All right, it's time for the McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. I'm going to take caller number 3 to 404-741-0750. That's caller number 3 to our contest line, 404-741-0750. You're going to win 4 tickets to the Atlanta International Auto Show. How cool would that be? That's on March the 22nd or the 23rd in Building C of the Georgia World Congress Center. And 4 tickets to the Spring Atlanta Home Show. That's March the 24th through the 26th at the Cobb Galleria Center. And I'm going to be broadcasting next weekend from the Georgia Atlanta Home Show, so at the Cobb Galleria. So come see us for that. That's going to be Walter Reeves, Dave Baker, and myself will all be broadcasting from the Home Show. And we are talking landscapes and gardening with Gibbs Landscapes experts Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs, President and Vice President of Gibbs Landscape, taking your calls at 404-872-0750. I almost gave out my cell phone just a minute ago. So you can give us a call. Let's go to caller number 4. Brian, you're on WSB. How are you today, Brian?
I'm doing fine.
Great. What's your question for my experts?
I have a wild muscadine vine that I have taken out of the tree, and it produces fruit well, but I've put it on my privacy fence, and I've yet to prune it. I've had it for 2 years. I was wondering how I would properly prune a muscadine vine.
Hey, Brian, how long did you say you'd had the muscadine vine again?
2 years.
And then you say you've moved it?
Yeah, it was in a tree, and I pulled it out of the tree, and I placed it on my fence. That way, it looks good.
Okay, all right. Yeah, now's the best time to go ahead and prune it, but you need to do it right away. I wouldn't wait much longer than now.
Okay, how much do I prune off? That's my question.
How big is it again? How big did you say?
You mean like length or diameter?
Well, probably more length, probably.
Probably 40 feet.
Oh, wow. I mean, I would go really prune it back, maybe say... You could prune it back pretty far. I mean, it's going to flush back out because right now's the time to do it. So you could prune it back, you know, I don't know, probably a third and thin some of it out. And
okay.
Then it's going to flush out, and then it should cover that area over pretty well. But and you could also fertilize it, too. Go ahead and fertilize it at the base. Just use like
okay.
some, I would use something like 12-4-8, something balanced, slow-release fertilizer, a little heavier than
okay.
nitrogen.
All right.
But yeah, like I said, you got that window, and now's the time to do it.
Okay, sounds good. I was just curious. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good luck with it, okay? Thanks for the call.
Oh, a quick question.
Yeah.
Blueberry bush.
Sure.
I've got 4 of those. How far should I prune them back?
Not very much. I mean, typically we do just a little bit of pruning over the summer with them. Just a little
okay.
bit, but I wouldn't do a whole lot. How long have they been in?
2 years.
Okay, well, they're about, because typically you don't want to prune them for, you know, the first year or two. I'd prune them just a little bit back at, you know, just during the summer, but not a whole lot.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, sure right, thing. Okay.
All right.
Good luck with it.
And send us some muscadine wine, okay? Just wondering what he's going to do with all those vines. All right, 39 minutes after 2 o'clock, 63 degrees here on Peachtree Street. Going back to the phone lines and speak with Marianne in Dunwoody. Marianne, you're on WSV. How are you today?
Fine. How are all of you guys doing?
Terrific. Great. Thanks for asking.
Okay, my question is regarding, and you might have answered this, maybe I didn't hear it, but I have three beautiful Japanese maples that have been in the ground about 15, 16 years. I'm concerned about the way the leaves look after that cold snap mm-hmm. came through. Am I going to lose them, or what's going to happen? Because they look like they're frostbite.
Marianne, they should be, how old did you say the trees were again?
I've had them about 15 years.
Okay, yeah, they're going to be fine. I mean, what's going to happen is the new buds are going to come out below the ones that have been burned off.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a little slower, but it will come out and be perfectly fine. But
yeah,
like I said, it's nothing like it was years ago where we had that really serious cold, which
okay,
really
I was worried about losing them. They're just absolutely beautiful. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck with it.
Everybody have a good day.
You
thanks,
too, sweetheart.
Bye.
Well, my Japanese maple have not started to produce any leaves yet.
Yeah, you're lucky. That's good.
So I'm on the lucky side.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Barry and McDonough. Barry, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to speak with you folks.
Sure.
My wife and I certainly enjoyed our trip to Gibbs Garden a year or two ago. That's an amazing place.
Oh, great.
Great.
I wanted to ask you about live oak trees. I go down the coast of Georgia and South Carolina. You always admire those beautiful trees. And so some years back, I picked up a pocket full of acorns from a colonial plantation down there and planted them. I wasn't sure how they would do, but I've had them out on my driveway, probably about 30 trees for 12 years now, and they do great. I was just curious why we don't see more live oaks used in landscape around Atlanta.
Hey, Barry, did you say they'd been out for, what, 15 years, the trees?
Yeah, something like that. I planted them in a nursery row and then later moved them down both sides of my driveway. I got a big, long driveway.
Okay, yeah. The main reason why we don't use them here as much is just because they don't handle the cold as well. You know, they do a lot better when you get south. So over the years, there's still some, you will see some real pretty ones around Atlanta. Not too much north of Atlanta, but you will see them. But that's been the main problem.
I noticed, like in Columbia, in those inland areas, they
right.
look a lot different. They don't have the same characteristics, you know, the kind of the Legends of Sleepy Hollow look.
Yeah.
You know, the open crown.
Right.
But, man, mine are just thick as they can be, and they've got a bird nest in every single tree. They love that big, thick crown.
Okay.
And I haven't seen any damage at all. I'm on a kind of a high hill, so I do catch some bad winds, you know, cold winds and stuff. And I haven't seen any damage at all from cold. They seem hardy as anything. I was just curious. They seem to be such a great tree. Why more of them weren't used?
Yeah, I would recommend, though, going ahead and deep root injecting those trees just to help them, because if we do have some bad weather, cold, if you can get that product into the soil, it's going to help the immune system, and it will help
And what was that you said?
Like a deep root injection, which, you know, any, you know, like a certified arborist, somebody can do for you. Very reasonable in price, and it'll definitely pay off. And they will grow a lot faster with that deep root injection, too.
Okay.
Is it the live oak that has the root system that's above ground, above the soil?
Sometimes. When they get older, you'll see them a little bit, but not quite as much.
Okay, maybe I'm confusing another.
You're thinking of probably one of the maple trees, some of the maple trees that's up on top of the ground.
You can really see it. Like,
yeah.
Spreading out.
I haven't seen any surface roots on mine, but, you know, mine are only about 12 inches diameter.
Well, good luck with those, and I hope they survive our cold weather here.
I'm doing great so far.
All right.
That's
knock
great,
on, knock on wood.
Bye.
I cracked myself up. Okay, 44 minutes after 2 o'clock, let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Michelle in Alpharetta. Michelle, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I'm so excited you're taking my call. So I have a trellis or you might call it a portico, out of leading into my front door from the circular driveway. And it's not that pretty, and I don't love it, but my husband does, and he's just not willing to paint, stain, add more beams across, anything. So my option is to grow vines around and cover them up and get the vines as hardy as possible.
Yeah, there you go.
So I've been in the house 3 years, 3.5, and every summer they die because it's so hot. The afternoon sun hits there intensely, and I can't seem to get them to really thrive.
Okay, that's a really good question. Now, from what you're saying, this is on the is it on the front of your house, and it is getting full afternoon sun, right?
Right.
Okay. Have you tried a jasmine called Duet Jasmine?
I have some jasmine, but I'm not sure about Duet, but
okay.
I want to look into that.
Yeah, there's a jasmine called Duet Jasmine. It's a really good jasmine because it does bloom twice a year. You get a really big bloom in the spring, and then you will get a small bloom in the fall. But that particular vine will do well in full sun. Actually, just to be honest with you, I have that vine on the front of my house, which is in full sun as well, and I've had it there for like 4 years now, and it's extremely full. And right now it's beautiful because it has a lot of blooms on it, and it's yellow blooming, and it looks really pretty. But that's what I would try right there.
Okay.
Now, one thing, too, is when you plant these, just you know, to get it started, you want to make sure that you're digging a really wide hole when you plant those. That,
well, the gardeners, I've had professional landscape people on it, and twice. The first time they died, and the second time they're just not doing so great. And I think it's because there's too much concrete around there. They can't dig enough dirt. My husband put them in the ground with all this concrete.
Yeah. I think that you're going to need to make sure, like I was saying, that you dig. You got to have a very wide hole dug that's probably going to be twice the size of the root ball.
Okay.
Or really the container. It's going to be in a container that it comes out of. Then you want to make sure that you score the root ball, which is basically taking, when the plant comes out of the container, you want to break up all those fibrous roots because they're kind of just stuck around the plant at that time. Then make sure you get it in the ground. Don't plant it too low. Don't plant it too high. Make sure about a third of the root ball is above grade, and then backfill it with really good organic soil and make sure you're watering it on a regular basis and keeping it moist. And if you do that, I think you'll be successful with it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
It is beautiful. My neighbor has that vine, and it is absolutely stunning when it's
blooming.
It really
is. They're beautiful.
All right. It's time for us to take our last break before the top of the hour. You're listening to Atlanta Living on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Belinda Skelton.
And welcome back to our final segment with Gibbs Landscaping, talking about your garden and landscape needs. I'm here with Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs. Thank you so much, guys, for spending an hour with me this Saturday. Let's go quickly to the phone lines and speak with Tess in Atlanta. Tess, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I'm great. What I'm wanting to know is I have about 15 pine trees, and they're very tall, very straight. Does anyone buy pine trees anymore? If not, will it hurt to top them?
Hey, Tess, how old are the trees again, did you say?
Oh, golly. I don't know how old they are. They're probably 30 years old.
Okay, yeah, typically. So you're trying to look at actually selling them, moving them, or?
I would like to sell. I'd like to just sell them to someone to come cut them down and
she wants
them
just,
off.
You just want rid of them.
I want rid of them, really. But if I can't do that, I'd like to just top them real good. I see if I could top them and it not hurt them, but I guess it would.
Yeah, it could hurt them. I would just recommend if you don't want them, it's going to be hard to sell those. I mean, some of the big specimen, Japanese maple, so forth, you can sell those. But if you're getting into pines and your trees you see a lot, it's going to be tough. But topping them, you could bring some other problems in. We've got the problem with the pine beetle borers right now in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. So they could make their way in. If they get in there, they're just going to take them all out. So,
ew.
Yeah, I'd recommend if you don't want to get rid of them, just cut them out, take them out, put something else in, or do something different.
I really don't want to put anything back, to tell you the truth. I'm tired of shrubberies and trees and everything else. I'm 76. I'm too old to mess with them.
Sure. Yeah, so maybe you better just go ahead and just take them out. But they're relatively easy to take out, especially if they're in an area away from the house.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right, Tess. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Tell me what are new plant materials that are pretty durable and that you're excited about for spring?
All right. We've got a few things for you on that, Belinda. Some of the things that we're using now that are new and interesting are one of them is called a little limelight hydrangea. And I have a picture of that. I'll show you right there. You can see it. I know we can't show the listeners, but the little limelight hydrangea we're using a lot, and it's so nice because it's
kind
much
of looks
smaller.
Like a cone.
Yeah, the flower on it is a cone shaped, and it'll take full sun. It only grows to about 3 feet tall, and it's a really nice specimen plant that people can do in groupings of three or five in their yard.
I'm gonna have to put that in.
Yeah, you should. You'll like these. Another nice plant that we have been using a lot of, and this is one that you could use in the shade. This is a mahonia, and a lot of people know probably what mahonia is, but this is called soft caress mahonia, and it is a very, very soft plant. It's got a really interesting leaf texture to it. It does have a really nice yellow bloom in the springtime.
That is gorgeous.
But it will only grow, again, to maybe like 3 feet tall, but it's a really nice plant that stays evergreen. You can use in groupings. But those are two of the ones we're really using a lot of now.
All right, guys. So if you've piqued their interest, where can they find you?
Well, they can call our office at 770-432-7761 or visit us on site at GibbsLandscape.com.
And I can't thank you enough for spending your Saturday with us. And you truly can turn the worst landscape into a work of art. And you're true artists when it comes to landscapes and gardens. And thank you so much. And Monica Perez is next. Stay tuned. I'll be with you next week at the Home Show. So join me next Saturday, 1 to 3.